Thanks. Kathy Wild with the Partnership for New York City. I guess I would just conclude this part of the discussion by saying that from the standpoint of the city's major employers, we have a significant investment in the transit system and agree that this is a top priority for investment, and certainly agree with the current leadership of the MTA's position that investment in maintaining services and security on the existing system has to be the number one funding priority. And as Katie mentioned, we currently face, just in terms of maintenance of a quality of system, a deficit of somewhere around $500 million a year in new revenues that will be required. And we're now looking at what those sources of revenues might be in New York. We think the congestion pricing experience, the experiment in London, is an opportunity for us to reopen that conversation in New York and try and push that. We think gasoline tax and other issues, there's statistics like $7 billion in lost productivity, $1 billion in lost fuel oil from congestion in New York. And we think that the London experience actually in this case gives us a great case study, and we feel that if the business community takes the lead in a congestion pricing effort, that may be a partial solution to new sources of revenues. It will not be the only one, and it will take us a couple years to get that done, so it's not today's solution. There's going to be other revenues needed as well. That is a commitment that I think the business community as taxpayers and also many of our employers directly subsidize their employees through their Metro cards, through the fare system, as well as through the tax base. So I think that commitment is definitely there. There are, however, some real frustrations in the way things work, particularly the financing system. In the capital program, we depend on a totally crazy what amounts to a half-pregnant system of federal funding for capital projects, where you get pieces of funding so you can build a portion of your subway or you can do very expensive engineering designs, but it'll be 20 years later and we've made no progress. And that whole capital funding system, I think, is just an enormous frustration when they say, why do we have to build this or what's the priorities? Well, the federal money is there, but the federal money only pays a third for it and you can only ride it if all three-thirds are built. So there's a real frustration in the need to rationalize that system, and unfortunately it comes at a time when, as Bruce pointed out earlier, the entire commitment to urban mass transit is as well as to all things important to blue states, are under attack, and this is in to urban centers. So this is a very tough time, but it is a frustration, I think, ultimately something that has to be addressed for the business community to get comfortable with multi-billion dollar long-term capital outlays. I think, second, we're not sure that the current thinking, there seems to be a tremendous inertia within the transit planning process, and part of that is because of this financing system that takes so long to get anything done, and economic realities are changing. There are more people living within the city and living close to work. There's statistics came out after 9/11 that a third of the people who work in lower Manhattan walk to work. I mean, there are major changes that come with urban density, more people living in the city, and more jobs in the suburbs. I called Westchester County Business Association, our counterparts there, to see how they would work with us on the mass transit funding solution, and they said, well, you know, we're really concerned about the highways and the bridges coming in because we now see a projection where we've got more commuters coming in, mostly by car, to work in Westchester County than are going to Manhattan to work. Now, this is a tremendous change, and Long Island is about half as many people going out to Long Island as coming in, and we have no rail line for them to run on because our two rail lines in the morning are committed still to bringing people into the city. We have no rail line to take people out there. So as this suburban-urban mix changes, and it goes to the whole thing that Bruce was raising in terms of how we think forward, we don't have the institutions in place, particularly across state lines, to deal with these realities. And as a result, the business community gets great agita about the spending of billions of dollars on projects that they fear may be obsolete. One positive solution to that just hasn't been mentioned in closing, when Buzz Paswell worked on and did this excellent study for us on the economic impact of various proposed capital programs, showing how they not only had transportation benefits but illustrating the tremendous economic development benefits, Clearly, the biggest impact came from building a new line to open up a huge new economic development area on our far west side, the number 7 line, in addition to which the value was so great that it not only could pay for itself in terms of multiplier effect and long-term economic impact, we literally can pay for the, combined with a rezoning plan, we literally can pay for the plan from increased zoning bonuses associated with that project, which is a huge breakthrough for us if we could actually begin to finance our capital programs, access to the waterfront for both residential and commercial development in this way, and not become, not continue to be dependent on the crazy partial funding system we have out of Washington. So I would just say that from our standpoint, we think that there are challenges and a real need to rethink some of what we're doing, but we're very positive about what's going on in terms of the kind of dialogue that's taking place and the leadership that the transportation agencies are showing in New York.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Richard first, then Herman.
Well, I just wanted to say we have